Let's look at the verse 15 in this psalm. You may have marked it at various intervals in your life. It's a happy verse, for it starts with a blessing. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. There's a blessing here, and there is a joyful sound. And if you notice in verse 15, this blessing is for those who know the joyful sound. Now, all the words in verse 15 appear in their simplest form. You don't need a dictionary to understand any one of them. You'll know all those words as you look at them. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Well, it's one thing for us to know the words. It's maybe a different thing altogether to question if we understand the verse. For example, what is this blessing mentioned here? And what is the joyful sound? For the Lord's speaking of a blessing upon the people who know the joyful sound. Well, is there a joyful sound today? If so, what is that joyful sound? How can we recognize it? What's the verse all about? It's possible, you see, as we come to verse 15, just to take a word there, one word, and maybe use a word which is the equivalent. So we're not changing the sense, we're just giving new emphasis to the verse. Let's take that word, know. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. That word, know, has for its equivalent, recognize. For example, if somebody hands you an old school photograph, they're likely to say, have a look at that picture and see if you can recognize anybody here in this old photo. And you look at it and you say, yes, I think I recognize a few old friends here. What you know, you recognize. The same thing goes for a sound. You know the sound of the piano, the sound of a trumpet. Every mother knows the sound of her baby's cry. So we can recognize sounds as well as people. And when we recognize the sounds, we might be able to identify with them. Certainly the mother who knows her baby's cry not only recognizes the cry, but she identifies with it. All her heart and all her soul, she identifies with that cry. We're getting very near the point now. You can see that when the Lord speaks of knowing a sound, a particular sound, it's recognition, recognizing the sound, getting the message that the sound conveys, identifying with that sound. And that's where the blessing comes from, because it's not just knowing, it's recognizing, identifying with it. That sound speaks to your soul. That sound blesses your heart. Whatever it is, it gets right to your soul, warms your heart, stirs your whole being, and you identify with it. That's what knowing is all about here. So look again at verse 15. Let's start with the questions once more. What is this joyful sound? Is there a history? Is there a history behind this joyful sound? And what purpose do you see in the joyful sound that warms the hearts of God's people? What about the worshippers in the days of old? What did they recognize in the sounds that they heard? Well, these sounds, the joyful sounds, in the first place, are sounds from the sanctuary of God. If you turn to the Psalm 100, words that you have often sung in the house of God, and strangely, maybe not so strangely, Psalm 100 starts off with a reference to this joyful sound. Do you see? Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. So this time, it's not just the sound, but the noise. It has to be a joyful noise, made by the people of God, within the precincts of God's house. So there's a stirring there, a stirring among the saints. The house of God is not always a place of quietness and reserve, but there's life there. And this joyful noise is actually commanded. Do you see that? It's not just something that occurs. It's commanded. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. So what I have said just now, this joyful sound belongs to the sanctuary of God. It's commanded by God. It is to involve the singing of the saints and the noise of His praise. Serve the Lord with gladness. It's never God's will for you to come into God's house with a murmuring spirit. I think you will know that on the opening day of our services last year, I made reference to the foundation stone, to the words that the Lord guided me to have imprinted on that stone. My thought was, in coming days, even I, from generation to generation, let the people of God who worship here, when they come through that door, be reminded that when they enter into God's presence, they must come with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. The devil wants to take away the gladness out of the service of God. And if he can, he'll turn the service of God into a chore. How wicked is that? We want to serve the Lord with liberty in our souls. We want to serve the Lord with joy. To make a loud noise, a joyful noise. To serve the Lord with gladness. To come into His presence with singing. Now, circumstances change for us all. We have hard times, we have disappointments, and yes, there are times when the tears come. But still be reminded, even though one thing or another doesn't go to plan, even if you come with heavy step to the house of God, think nevertheless of God's command that you are to serve the Lord with gladness. And if that time ever comes and you're human, and therefore I presume it does come, and it will come, that you're not serving Him with gladness anymore. That's a sad thing. You have to be exercised about that, and pray about that, and say, Lord, this is not right. You may not be able to help it. I said you are human, you have human feelings, but you have to say, Lord, come aboard. Minister to my soul. Restore the gladness. And help me to serve the Lord with that gladness. That's Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2. Nearby is Psalm 98. Now look at verse 4, Psalm 98. We want to get to the heart of the question. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. You may have read the verse hundreds of times. It may have touched your soul. You may have said, I wonder what's that all about. Well, we're looking at it now. And while we look at it, it will be needful for you and me to say of ourselves, have we got this? Is this the way we come into God's presence ourselves? Do we make the joyful noise? Do we serve the Lord with gladness? Do we have the shout of the King among us? Remembering that the devil wants to take away the gladness out of the heart of the Christian. Maybe more than anything else. For he can't rob you of your salvation. He will then do the very next thing. He'll rob you of the gladness. And you'll be serving the Lord as if it were a chore. And how sad that is. Verse 4, Psalm 98. Have you got it? Mark it in your Bible. I believe it's exceedingly important Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise. And rejoice and sing praise. Verse 6. With trumpets and the sound of the cornet. The trumpets are the silver trumpets. The cornet is the shofar or the ram's horn. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. And then the next verse even says regarding the sea, let the sea roar. It's clear then that God's command to his people is they are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and a loud noise, and to rejoice and to sing. Therefore, our singing is not to be poor. Our singing is not to be limpid, but it should be such as comes from the depths of the soul. These verses, as we put them together, show clearly we're to serve the Lord with vigor, with zeal, with all the heart, and there is the joyful noise. Turn to Psalm 81. I'm not giving you all the verses, just a few specimen verses. Well, we want to put these verses together. We're asking the question, what is this joyful sound? We can see it includes the singing of the praise of the Lord. It includes the sound of the trumpet, the silver trumpet. It includes the voice of the shofar or the ram's horn. And the Lord is saying, make a loud noise. As if to suggest, let the heavens ring with the praise of the Lord. Very probably like myself, you're driving along someday, you get to that part in the city where there are two or three lanes, and before you know, your ear is filled, although there's no music. There's no music even inside that vehicle, but you hear nothing but boom, 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 boom. And you wonder, well, what's going on in there in that car? Somebody making a loud noise. Not for God. It's a loud noise, and it belongs to the world and to the devil. Well, God's people should make a loud noise, for we have reason to shout and sing. For the way is growing bright and their souls are on the wing. Here in Psalm 81, this is very significant. Sing aloud. Don't be singing in such a polite fashion. There's not much volume coming from you. But sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm, bring hither the timbrel and the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet. In the new moon, in the time appointed, and our solemn feast day, for this was a statute for Israel, and the law of God for Jacob. This was a statute, this was God's ordained way, that there should be a resounding anthem of praise going up to God in the sanctuary. And when God's people then, in bygone days, assembled, they didn't assemble there in such a formal, dry, and dead fashion. And there was no life in their worship, no music in their praise. But when they sang with such power as to make the earth ring. And thus you'll see, sing aloud, Psalm 81, verse 1. Again, verse 1, make a joyful noise. And you'll see the loudness of it, verse 3. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, in the solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel, and the law of God. Do you see that? You may never have considered this before, that this was actually a statute. This was a law of God. That when they come into God's presence, they enter into God's presence with gladness. Make a joyful noise. And we read the words, a loud noise. I like good singing. When you're reading the Bible, I like to hear plenty of volume as well. I think we honor God that way. That's not the only way to worship. You can worship in the quietness of a moment. Of course you can. You can sing quietly to yourself. Of course you can. That's not a bad thing. But I'm talking now of formal worship. I'm talking of the response of the people when they're united together before God. Their name should be one. Then there should be the shout of a king among God's people. Then the singing should be triumphant. The whole house should rise with the praise of God. This is a statute which God has commanded. Blessed are the people who recognize the joyful sound. Ah, well, that's what the psalm is saying. Can we look back, since the verse in the psalm here has mentioned the new moon and the time appointed and the solemn feast day? Does that signify anything? Does it indicate anything to you? Can we go back to the book of Numbers, chapter 10? Now, in Numbers chapter 10, the first 10 verses describe the making of the silver trumpet. We have read in these various portions from the Psalms of the use of the silver trumpet as well as the ram's horn, the shofar. You will see that the Lord is giving a type to His people. There are pictures then in the Old Testament of the coming redemption. Pictures of Christ in the Old Testament. Pictures of His Word to the saints of God in the Old Testament. And here we have the fashioning of two trumpets of silver. Verse 2. Silver speaks of redemption. The message, the glad message sounded out by these silver trumpets is the message of redemption, that the Lord has redeemed His people. You will observe also the trumpets are two in number. Make thee two trumpets, and two is the number of witness. We bear testimony to Christ. The witness of the church is to the gospel, the message of redemption, the way of the cross that leads home. As it happens, speaking of the Bible, we have two parts to the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and these two are one. For the two trumpets are made from the one piece to signify their unity. Both these trumpets, I don't know if they're keyed in the same fashion, but as they blend their message together, they sound out the anthem of redemption. And so God says, look, here are two trumpets, the Old and the New Testament. They're fashioned out of the one. They're in the one book. They proclaim the blood. They proclaim the message of redemption. They sound out the grace of God abroad. That's something. Now these trumpets have various uses for the calling of the assembly, for a warning of the people if an enemy approaches. The trumpets sound at the time when the people decamp and they prepare for a journey. The trumpet sounds to lead them on their way. But if you see also in verse 10 of Numbers chapter 10, also, verse 10, this is very, very important. If we're going to talk about the blessedness of knowing the joyful sound, what it is, we have learned that this is a statute God has made for Israel. When they come into God's presence, they come with gladness. And they come with a loud noise, with all the heart and all the soul, all the vigor that they can give to the worship of the Lord. And this trumpet is to sound, the two of them. Verse 10, also in the day of your gladness, to celebrate a glad day, the trumpet will sound to remind you in your gladness, you belong to the Lord. You're redeemed by blood. This is the message of the silver trumpet. Just a type, a picture ahead of time of the proclamation of the glorious gospel of Christ. In the day of your gladness, in your solemn days, the days when the heart is to be afflicted and you gather before God, still there's a note of gladness. If there is to be mourning among the saints, it's not mourning without indications of gladness, because the song of the Lord is still to be there even in those solemn days. Then in the beginning of the months, that's what's called elsewhere the new moon. So we read in the psalm about the new moon and the sounding of the trumpet in the new moon. Every month is to start with the sounding of the trumpet. Did you know that? Every month in Israel, the trumpet was to sound. The loud noise was to go forth, melodious, melodious as it was, stirring and blessing the heart. And those who recognized the sound could say, yes, we have been redeemed. Yes, we belong to the Lord. Yes, redemption is accomplished. They identified with the sound. In the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifice of your peace offering, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. Now there is a reference to the burnt offering, a reference to the peace offering, that when the blood was shed, the trumpet was to sound. And God's saying here, this is a statute, that you make a loud noise with the flourish of the trumpet, and let the trumpet sound it out. The burnt offering has been presented. The peace offering has been made. And what are we speaking of but the sacrifice of Christ? The burnt offering signifying the whole offering being given out of necessity in order to accomplish our redemption. A whole Christ for the whole company of the people of God. That burnt offering demonstrating that Christ once for all is the sacrifice for sin. So we have in the burnt offering the complete offering, the giving of his all to God. And our Savior gave his all for me. I want you to know that. It is then that the trumpet sounds. I, the two of them, sounding as the one, sounding out redemption. That the offering has been made. The sacrifice has been presented. And now, as if God's saying to the people, and now, come in with the trumpet. Now, let it sound out. Make a joyful noise, because the work is done. Isn't that great? Turn, if you will, to the book of Leviticus, chapter 25. So the Lord ordained that in the beginning of the month, the trumpet would sound. In the day of gladness, in the solemn day too, the Lord ordained that in the beginnings of the month, the trumpet would sound. There would be a sacrifice made at the beginning of the month, or it is called in some scriptures the new moon. That's what it means. If you read the new moon in the Bible in this connection, you're not to think, well, did they in some way look at the moon and were they in their worship somehow identifying themselves with the moon? No, not in any way. The new moon simply was their calendar in the heavens. It marked out the start of the month. The new moon came up, sure enough, marking out the months. And at the start of the month, they had to blow the trumpet and remind themselves they belong to the Lord. It's a memorial, you see. That's what the scripture says in Numbers. For a memorial, let the trumpet be blown, that the Lord may remember his people, and that his people may remember the Lord. That they may remember they've been bought with a price. They may remember the work is done with a sacrifice never, never to be repeated. The work is finished. The whole theme of redemption then proclaims a finished work. Thus we do not have an altar in our church. There's no altar here. There's no altar in any Free Presbyterian church. It's just a table. The table is an item of furniture for the family. The family gather around the table. And the Lord tells us how, as we gather around his table, he just takes us in as members of his family, his children, around his table. The altar is a place of sacrifice. And in those places of worship where an altar occupies the preeminent place, the idea is that someone among men will make another sacrifice. in an attempt to, I repeat what the Lord did on Mount Calvary. There can be no continuation in that sense. Where the work is done, never, never to be repeated. That work is finished. Here in Leviticus 25, verse 9, then thou shalt call the trumpet of the Jubilee, or the trumpet of the loud noise, if you like. That's what it means here. The trumpet of the loud noise, the loud flourish with the trumpet, the message sounding out. Thou shalt call the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement. Shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Look at the words, throughout all your land. They're just as important as any other in the verse. Throughout all your land. I said moments ago, and you heard me, that this loud noise is to be such as to make the earth ring. I'm certain that that's what's in view here. That the Lord is saying, look, on the Day of Atonement, let the trumpet sound, but it must sound throughout all your land, that the mountains may re-echo with it, the hills and the valleys may take up the sound. And so, from mountain to mountain, the sound of redemption will be heard across the land. Look, the blood is shed, the offering is made, and we are accepted in what the Lord has done for us. We have peace with God, for the peace offering is also mentioned. Proclaiming the peace of God in the sinner's heart. And let it sound, the scripture says, throughout all the land. So the trumpet is to ring with it. All the earth is to ring with the sound of this finished work of redemption. We might not have got that far. What about these walls? Have we got to the place yet where these walls can actually ring with the sound of heaven's anthem? The rabbis used to say, and often I would say this in taking a tour to Israel. In fact, I don't think I ever took one, but I mentioned it. However, I'll not rely too heavily in my memory. But I have often said that it was the old tradition among the Jews that when, on the Day of Atonement, up there on Mount Moriah, when the sacrifice was offered and the blood was shed, the trumpets played, the people shouted with a great shout that they could be heard as far away as Jericho. That's all 20 miles. I don't know whether that's just exaggeration or fond thinking on their part, but it illustrates the point just the same. That if somebody was at Jericho, 20 miles away, they could hear the shout and recognize, why, this is the Day of Atonement. The sacrifice is made, the blood is presented, and God has accepted His people, sinners as they are, on the merit of the shed blood. 20 miles, that's as far as from this burn to Antrim. And we would be going some of this burn if you could sing and shout so that somebody in Antrim heard the ring of it. I don't know that we could reach all 20 miles. It's just the illustration, nevertheless. Let it ring throughout all your land. Let the whole country ring with it. And you see, if you read on in verse 10 there of Leviticus 25, he shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And you shall return every man to his own possession. Why, the Lord has a great day of redemption for Israel. There is a day yet to come when the trumpet will sound at the Lord's return, and the Lord will gather his people unto himself. Can I turn you to Isaiah 44, verse 23? Isaiah 44. It just ties in what I've been saying today. Sing, O ye heavens. Well, this is Isaiah 44, verse 23. As if, well, heaven can't be silent. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. There's a finished work. The Lord has done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. Let the whole country ring with it, the mountains and the trees, right down into the valley, to the lower parts of the earth, from the highest part to the lowest part. Let the sound go out. Let it be recognized. The Lord has done it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and has glorified himself in Israel. Has the Lord glorified himself in your life? In your reading of the Bible, has the Lord magnified his name to you? As you've prayed, has the Lord blessed your soul, magnifying himself in the work of redemption? What about this congregation? Has the Lord magnified himself among us as we have proclaimed the message of the finished work of Christ? And you can see how in verses 21 and 22, remember these, O Jacob and Israel. Just you remember this, God saying. Don't you forget this. Verse 22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me. Come back. Come back. Come back to me, for I have redeemed thee. That's where it all is. Can we go back in closing to your psalm then? Psalm 89 is. I think we can read the verse now, and I hope that what we have been saying has given you a firm hold upon the theme the psalmist expatiates on here. Blessed is the people, or happy, all the happinesses of the people that recognize and that can identify with the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. You see, when you identify with the sound, and you know what it means, it warms your heart and stirs your soul, lifts you, even should you be way, way down in the depths. It lifts your soul to know the Lord has triumphed in accomplishing your redemption. And that has an impact upon every part of your life. The rest of the verse, first of all, your walk. But when you've been brought to the cross, when you've worshipped on redemption ground, when you recognize the joyful sound, the whole place rings with it, then your heart does respond, and you shall walk in the light of God's countenance. In the light. You'll walk in the sunshine. You'll not be walking under the shadow. I believe the Lord will bring you out of the shadow and bring you into the sunshine, and you'll be walking in the light of God's countenance. Ah, the word here, this word walk, is in the intensive. And that means, well, the English language, rich as it is, in all the variations that we recognize as belonging to it. The English language is just far too impoverished to bring out the intensification that is actually written into the text here. And the only way I can indicate that intensification is, oh, they shall walk. How they shall walk. They shall walk with conviction. They will walk with holy resolve. They will walk with continuity in the service of God. They shall walk in the sunshine of thy countenance. You'll see as well, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day or every day. Are you rejoicing in the Lord? Are you walking with God? Are you rejoicing in what the Lord means to you? In thy righteousness, that's justifying righteousness. And the Lord becomes the glory of their strength. And we can go on there into verse 18. The Lord is our shield and the Lord is our king. It impacts on your life. If we talk about dedication, then dedication starts at the cross. Happy is that people who know the joyful sound. They recognize it and they can identify with it. And they can say, that means so much to me. Tells me I'm saved. Tells me with blessed assurance. For I know it. I know it. As sure as anything, I know it. My name's in glory. My name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Where do you stand with God? Does the cross make an impact on your soul, on your life? Shall we pray? How about you? How about you calling on the Lord right now? If you have been bought with a price, you're to make a noise about it. Aye, the Lord says, a loud noise. It might have been a long time since you made a loud noise about it. Might have been a long time since you shouted glory. Might have been a long time since you sang the Lord's song with a heart as full and as free as that. Let the whole place ring with it. And do you see how in the first verse of that hymn there, climb the steeps, right up to the top of the mountains, cross the waves, let the whole earth ring with it. The hymn writer got it right. And maybe we haven't talked about the Lord enough. Maybe somebody here has actually been ashamed of the Lord, and somebody else doesn't know how he stands. You don't really know how it is with your soul, and you've run to the world. You've run away from God. You haven't run to Christ. Oh, my dear friend, as one of the ministers in this house, and therefore I can say you're a minister, I entreat you to run to Christ this day and to sing aloud what the Lord has done. Lord, do speak on. Cover us now beneath the shadow of thy wing. Help us, Lord, to recognize the sound, to know it, and to identify with it, knowing that this pertains to us. O Lord, thou hast been gracious and good, and we thank thee for that. Take us home in safety, with the joy of gladness that the Lord gives. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour, the Holy Spirit, himself the Comforter, rest and abide with us today and always. Amen.